I see people looking. 474. Precious Lord, take my hand. 474. And 1 and 2 or 1 and 3? Dale? 1 and 2. 474. Another favorite? I see Gary. Go ahead. 371. I was open to that page. Wow, Gary. All right. 371. I stand amazed in the presence. And how about 1 and 5? 1 and 5. 371. Sung in a long time. That's an old favorite, classic one. Thank you. And we have time for one more. Is there another request? I heard 380. There's within my heart a melody, number 380. And how about 1 and 5? 1 and 5, 380.
Fills my every life.
you, everyone. We'll now continue with our service.
Thank you, Colleen, for that beautiful introduction music. That was gorgeous. Love that. Good morning. My name is Susan Walmsley, and I welcome you to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's wonderful to see all of you who have come out in this inclement weather, and so hats off to you for having braved the weather to come out here. It's wonderful to have you here. And of course, we welcome all of those who are visiting with us also through our Zoom. And it's nice to know that you're there and that you're in the comfort of your warm and toasty house. So thank you for all of you for coming and joining in our service today. It's appreciated. We have announcements that we would Sorry, before I get to there, I wanted to make note that today we are pleased to be able to have Reverend Dr. Dina Barwick with us today. So it's so wonderful to have her here, and I know that she will remind us who she is again as we continue through our service. And so I would like to take us through some announcements right now, since I've introduced you. And of course, we always know that you're welcome to go across the breezeway to our social hall so that you can enjoy fellowship, coffee, and a few snackaroos. That's always good to have. You should also be signing in on your red pew pads so that we will know that you're here, and the people in your row will also know you're here because they will have seen your name as it was passed along. So thank you for doing that as well. I know there's a slide here, but it's never worth saying more than just once. It's worth saying more than just once. And that is, as you came in today and got your bulletin, there was also a box there with your 2022 giving statements. They're in that box alphabetically, so I would encourage you to pick up yours as you leave today's service. So thank you for doing that as well. And so now then, we'll come to our birthdays. This is still January, and those are still January birthdays that are up there. But we're still wishing them a happy birthday. So happy birthday to all you January birthday folks. Anne has just walked in, I think, and she's celebrating her birthday this month. And continuing on, we have the Whiteboard Bible Study that is continuing on. It's held in the Camellia Room, as you can read, a video study covering a divided nation. It's a six-week study, so they're still continuing on. So please, if you have an opportunity at 11 o'clock, that will continue in that study. And I believe, even though you may not have attended the initial ones, you're still most welcome to come in. I'm sure people will refresh you. And then our Hearts Grow is the second and fourth Sunday. So today's the fifth Sunday, so that would not be happening. But for your information purposes, our next second Sunday, Hearts Grow will take place. And so that's a fun opportunity to bring your children. If there are children that you're aware of that might benefit from that, please have them come, especially on the second and fourth Sundays. And then we are still notifying you of the need for blood. So if you're not able to give blood, perhaps you know of someone who is able to give blood. You know, it's one of the few things that we can truly give and get so much reward in return from that few hours that you might spend at a blood bank. And now then, we'll go to the movies, and our movie for February 4th is going to be Arranged. And I've not seen this movie, but don't let that keep you from coming to it. February 4th at 11 a.m., Friendship Has No Religion. So that sounds like it could be a very excellent movie to attend. So February 4th at 11, and of course you know that there's always refreshments, and this shows in our faith theater too, so a great chance to enjoy that theater setting that we have. And that concludes, oh, and there is the giving statements announcement, so I shall say that again. In the narthex are the giving statements alphabetically in that box. So thank you for attending to that. I don't have any other announcements. I don't believe I was told of any other announcements. So we'll say that's the announcements. Thank you very much. And so now we're going to just continue on into our service today. If you would please stand as you are able and join with me in the call to worship. Hear what the Lord says. Take your stand. If you have a complaint, tell the mountains. Make your case known to the hills. How can I stand up before God and show proper respect to the Almighty? Should I bring an armload of offerings topped off with yearling calves? Would God be impressed with thousands of rams with buckets and barrels of olive oil? Would he be moved to sacrifice my firstborn child, my precious baby, God has told you. He has already made it quite plain on how to live and what to do. What God is looking for in his followers is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and love kindness. Don't take yourself too seriously, and walk humbly with your God. Amen. And now we'll continue with our hymn, Blessed Be Thy Name. We'll sing it three times through. It's number 63. Standing, let's pass the peace by verbal greetings and hand waving if you can. Our pews have filled out, so that's wonderful to see. And now we will have some sharing of joys and concerns. If you have a joy to share or a concern we can help you with prayers, please put your hand up and Deb has the mic and we can express those joys and concerns. And likewise, anyone on Zoom, I see June will have one. So when we get back onto the Zoom, when Deb gets back there, we will have her joy or concern.
That might actually be Joyce. Oh. But we'll be with you in a minute.
Oh, yep, it is.
Can you wait just a second till we can get you on the mic? I got somebody in the sanctuary first.
Yes, we'll be right with you at Zoom.
My wife yesterday passed out and fell in our shower, broke a couple toes, and she was so out of it I couldn't move her. So the paramedics came and took her to Loma Linda. She got there about 1:30, but didn't get admitted till about 10:30 at night. And they're thinking it's something neurological. So we need some prayers for that.
That's prayers for Linda Crabtree.
I would also ask for prayers for Rachel Moore and prayers for safe travel for my sister that's coming to visit this Wednesday. Her name is Sherry. And go ahead and unmute yourself, Joyce, and I'll put the mic up for you.
Yes, I need prayers for my daughter-in-law, Natalie. She's been in the hospital for a week. They're trying to control her heart rate. It keeps racing, and no matter what they do, they're not able to get it under control. I'm very worried about her. Please pray for Natalie.
And prayers for Natalie. Thank you. Are there any others from anyone on the Zoom? Thank you very much. And now, if you will, we'll continue. And if you'll please join me in our unison prayer, please. Your blessings are abundant, most gracious God, and your wisdom exceeds our understanding. Fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted. Guide us by the wisdom of the cross. Show us how to live a life of justice, love, and blessedness, illuminating all of your glory with whom we share your goodness. Amen.
And now, as we continue in prayer, a few moments for your own silent prayers. Gracious and loving God, you are the source of life and peace. Praise be your name forever. We know it is you who turns our minds to thoughts of peace. Hear our prayer in this time of crisis, violence, and prejudice. Only your power can change our hearts. Muslims, Christians, and Jews remember and profoundly affirm that they are followers of the one true God. Children of Abraham, brothers, sisters, enemies, they begin to speak to one another. Those who were estranged join hands in friendship. Nations seek the way of peace together. Strengthen our resolve to give witness to these truths by the way we live. Give to us understanding that puts an end to conflict and fighting, mercy that quenches hatred and prejudice, and forgiveness that overcomes vengeance. Empower all people to live in your principle of love. Our God, our only hope, hear us, lest through weariness we should not wish to seek you. Please give us strength to seek always. You who have given us the hope of finding you more and more, we ask for wisdom and strength to begin the journey of living in the spirit of the Beatitudes with simplicity, hopefulness, and peace. We ask these things in the name of the one who taught his disciples so long ago to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Our daily bread. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Wangari's Trees of Peace, a true story from Africa, written by Jeanette Winter. Wangari lives under an umbrella of green trees in the shadow of Mount Kenya in Africa. She watches the birds in the forest where she and her mother go to gather firewood for cooking. And she helps harvest the sweet potatoes, sugar cane, and maize from the rich soil. Wangari shines in school, and when she grows tall, like the trees in the forest, she wins a scholarship to study in America. 6 years later, her studies over, Wangari returns to her Kenya home and sees a change. What has happened, she wonders. Where are the trees? Wangari sees women bent from hauling firewood miles and miles from home. She sees barren land where no crops grow. And where are the birds? Thousands of trees have been cut down to make room for buildings, but no one planted new trees to take their place. Will all of Kenya become a desert, she wonders as her tears fall. Wangari thinks about the barren land. I can begin to replace some of the lost trees here in my own backyard, one tree at a time. She starts by planting 9 seedlings. Watching the seedlings take root gives Wangari the idea to plant more, to start a farm for baby trees, a nursery. In an open space, she plants row after row of the tiny trees. Next, Wangari convinces the village women that planting trees is a good thing. She gives each one a seedling. Our lives will be better when we have trees again. You'll see. we are planting the seeds of hope. The women spread out over their village, planting tiny trees in long rows. Like a green belt stretching over the land. The government men laugh. Women can't do this, they say. It takes trained foresters to plant trees. The women ignore the laughter and keep planting. Wangari pays them a small amount for each seedling still living after 3 months, their first earnings ever. Word travels like wind rustling through leaves about the green returning to Wangari's village. Soon, other women in other villages and towns and cities in Kenya are planting long rows of seedlings too. But the cutting continues. Wangari stands tall as an oak to protect the old trees still remaining. We need a park more than we need an office tower. The government men disagree. Wangari blocks their way, so they hit her with clubs. They call her a troublemaker and put her in jail. And still she stands tall. Right is right, even if you're alone. But Wangari is not alone. Talk of the trees spreads all over Africa like ripples in Lake Victoria. More women hear the talk and plant even more seedlings in longer rows. The seedlings take root and grow tall until there are over 30 million trees where there were none. The umbrella of green in Kenya returns. The women walk tall, their backs straight, for now they can gather firewood closer to home. The land is no longer barren. Sweet potatoes, sugarcane, and maize grow again in the rich red earth. The whole world hears of Wangari's trees and of her army of women who planted them. And if you were to climb to the very top of Mount Kenya today, you would see the millions of trees growing below you. And the green Wangari brought back to Africa. The end. Wangari Maathai was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004 because of her contribution to world peace through the Green Belt Movement. In African tradition, a tree is a symbol of peace, so it was fitting that when notified of winning the award, one of Wangari's first acts was to plant a Nandi flame tree at the base of Mount Kenya. In her acceptance speech, she said, "We are called to assist the earth to heal her wounds, and in the process heal our own. Indeed, to embrace the whole creation in all its diversity, beauty, and wonder. May we each do many small things to make a big difference in our world."
Indeed. Thank you very much for that story that you've shared with us today, Deb. And now, if you'll please join in the singing of our hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Spirit.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And I read, Introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. I always mispronounce that, the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. It's good to be back. I'm glad to see more than two people in here when I first started up here. So thank you for braving the cold and the rain. And I'm hoping for snow later after we all get home. We belong to each other. Whether you call yourself a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, a believer of Christ, or a servant of Christ, we all belong to the kingdom of God. Therefore, we belong to each other. If we are to learn how to live into the spirit of the Beatitudes, we need to do so with simplicity, with compassion, and hopefulness, as Jesus calls us to do. Friends, will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as you have provided this servant wisdom to prepare your words for these friends today, I open my heart to your spirit, so Jesus may take the words from my mouth and heart to be acceptable to you as I share them today. Amen. When learning the teachings from my childhood church, the Beatitudes were presented to us, as really small children, a list of entrance requirements or behaviors to the kingdom of God. Or heaven, I believe they used the words. It didn't occur to me, nor probably were we allowed to question these teachings. It turns out I've discovered there are a lot of people who believe that this is a list of things that you have to do. As a very old person now, I believe this theory of checkmark behaviors is an impossible ideal. A different view is that the reality of sin makes it impossible for anyone to fulfill these commands, which begs us then to view through the lens of the necessity in grace. First, we need to understand the context of when this passage was written and why. In the verses just before this passage today, Jesus has gone around and called his 12 disciples from various professions who began to follow him throughout Galilee, announcing the good news of the kingdom of God while healing the deceased and the sick. The framework is very early in Christ's ministry. Second, the Beatitudes are Jewish in nature. The Jewish contextual key is to understand the first word of each Beatitude, blessed or blessed. To be blessed is not simply to just be happy, but to know that one is included in the kingdom of God. This notion was very important to Matthew's congregation because they faced both external and internal issues. Externally, they were in tension with the leaders of the traditional Judaism regarding the degree to which the community was always faithfully Jewish. Internally, some of the people were in tension with one another, and while some were just drifting away. Lastly, we need to understand the specific content of each beatitude from the perspective of the first century. Today, we tend to hear the Beatitudes from our very casual 21st century association. For example, when we hear the words, "Blessed are those who mourn," we reference an emotion to the sadness that accompanies the death of a loved one, the ending of a career path, or any other significant ending. By contrast, Matthew had in mind the mourning of his faithful followers who recognized that the present condition of the world was so far from what God's purpose was. They saw idolatry, injustice, exploitation, and violence, and they mourned. They mourned deeply for the world as God had wanted to see it. In Isaiah 61, written by the prophet Isaiah, it gives us a very clear indication of what the Beatitudes are. It is the foretelling of Jesus and his ministry. Just verses 1 and 2. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And then we read in Luke 4, we read that Jesus preached his first sermon. He read these verses aloud to them and said, "They are fulfilled this day." And these are the same words in our Matthew passage today. So if we continue in this thinking, we read in our first verse, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain." These are the same words in Exodus to describe Moses, the first prophet, going up to receive the Ten Commandments. So, are the disciples climbing up the mountain with Jesus to receive their instructions on a new way of life so that they can share with others? He sat down. He invited his disciples to sit. Then he began to speak and taught them. Whenever we hear the Beatitudes, we are struck with their poetic beauty. And at the same time, we're overwhelmed by their perceived impracticality for the world in which we live today. We admire the instruction, but we fear the implications of putting all of those words into actual practice. We live in a time when the blessings given are to those who succeed, and often at the expense of others. To be poor in spirit, peaceful, merciful, and meek will get you nowhere in our culture that is grounded in competition and fear. Perhaps this is why the most references to the Beatitudes imply that in giving this instruction, Jesus was literally turning the values of the world upside down. Jesus was indeed turning the world, the traditions, the beliefs, the values of their world upside down. And he in turn asks the same of us. If we continue with the idea or the perspective that Jesus is the embodiment of the Beatitudes, that he is saying that he fulfilled this prophecy, are we being asked to do the same when we choose to follow Jesus in his footsteps, to be his hands and feet when we journey through this life as Christ followers or disciples or servants? Who among us can survive in attempting to live into the spirit of the Beatitudes as Jesus was calling his disciples? I, for one, would be very hesitant. Maybe I didn't quite think this through that night on July 17th, 1998, at 2:10 in the morning when I chose to begin a journey with Jesus. Did I really know what it meant to be called a servant of God? Did I really know the full implication of following in Jesus' footsteps? No, I did not. And did you really know what you were signing up for when you first chose to follow Jesus? Because the Beatitudes are overwhelming to try and follow, we might have hesitated to say, "Yes, I will follow you," if we maybe had known in advance. But the answer resides not in the Beatitudes' impracticality, but in their practicality. We often approach them as an impossible challenge for ordinary living. I mean, really, only the greatest of saints can try and live up to this task, and even they can falter. We ordinary human beings, we wait for the occasional great figures like Martin Luther King Jr., Dorothy Day, and Desmond Tutu to show us the way. But in the meantime, the world doesn't get any better, and we remain unfulfilled in our pale expressions of Christian discipleship. Discipleship is not about checking the boxes of a list that some revered pastor or a parent or a teacher set up for us to follow. This is what you do. You go to church. Check. Go to a midweek service. Check. Read your Bible. Check. Take a meal to someone in need. Check. I did all those things. And while all those things are good, they're just one-time events. And they're not fully living the practice of discipleship. The truth is that Jesus meant the Beatitudes to be for everyone. Living daily into the spirit of the Beatitudes involves looking at them as a collection of a whole and not looking at them individually. Each is related to the others, and they build on one another. For example, those who are meek, meaning humble, are more likely to hunger and thirst after righteousness because they have remained open to the wisdom of God. If we approach the Beatitudes this way, we can see that they invite us into the way of being into the world that leads to very specific daily practices of discipleship. In other words, following the original intention of Jesus to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. I would like to introduce you to three principles for living into the spirit of the Beatitudes. That's just not a checklist to follow. Simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion. These three ideas are paraphrased from two authors, Henry Nouwen and Charles Cook. I say introduced because I believe that longer decisions and discussions and ideas need to happen. First with yourself and God, and then perhaps with others. Simplicity. Simplicity has very little to do with sophistication. It has to do with hearing the words of Jesus for what they are, and not what we want them to be. To approach the Beatitudes simply is to hear the words clearly, without prejudice, and to know that the words are being spoken directly to us. We do receive more courage than fear when Jesus says, "You are blessed in this life when you show humility. Bring a peaceful presence, open your heart to others, and show mercy to those who cry." Hearing Jesus' words simply spoken is the first step for living into the spirit of the Beatitudes. Hopefulness. There's little disagreement that there is a lack of hopefulness in our world. The death of the church is when the overall attitude moves from anger to cynicism. Cynicism differs from anger. Cynicism has decided to accept whatever is, regardless of the consequences. Cynicisms offer us very little hope that things are going to get better. Our mantra becomes, "Oh, don't worry about it. This is just the way things are. You'll get used to it." Jesus, through the Beatitudes, invites us to the opposite point of view, which is hopefulness. We place our hope in Christ, who offered hope to the hopeless. Thus, we can approach every day, every encounter, every interaction with a spirit of hope, even when outward signs indicate otherwise. When we show hopefulness, we stand in the world with the possibility that someday will come when mercy, humility, peace, and love are the description of what it means to live in spirit and with Christ. Compassion. Lastly, the Beatitude Living is compassion. Compassion is not associated with either pity or sympathy. It goes deeper, much deeper. To have pity on another person means you feel sorry for them. Sympathy means you understand what another person is experiencing, so you offer some unsolicited advice. Henry Nouwen offers an insightful description on compassion. Compassion grows with the inner recognition that your neighbor shares your humanness with you. We are all humans, with a backstory and a present story we're all just trying to live in. This partnership in humanness with your neighbor cuts through all the walls which have kept you separated in the past, across all barriers of land and language, wealth and poverty, knowledge and ignorance. We are one, created from the same dust, subject to the same laws, and destined for the same end, dust again. We are distinct individuals. More importantly, we share the gift of being created in God's image. Thus, we belong to one another as family. Compassion is not walking the path with a person, a friend, or a companion, but rather walking in his or her shoes, because we belong to each other. What Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes, with the audience being his disciples in a social, political context of the Roman Empire, whose religious context was the elite Jewish government. Those who receive God's favor or blessing are not the privileged classes of the Roman Empire or the Jewish establishment. The Beatitudes are spoken to the groups whom God deems worthy, not by virtue of their own accomplishments, achievements, or status in society, but because God chooses to be on the side of the weak, the forgotten, the despised, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, and those persecuted because of their beliefs. Jesus lived out his ministry demonstrating that this is what God's reign is all about, and the promise for God's love for all people. Jesus showed us how to live into the spirit of the Beatitudes, not for ourselves as followers, but for others. Why? You know the answer? Because we belong to each other. We belong in God's family as one. Learning to live into the spirit of the Beatitudes with a commitment to simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion is something we all can do. In the process, we discover this is not irrational at all. It is only the truly rational, practical approach to living as a believer. To conclude, I'd like to read a 21st century version of the Beatitudes written by Eugene Peterson, which presents tone, rhythm, events, and ideas in today's language. I've asked Deb to put it up on the screen so that you can look at the Beatitudes that we read earlier, and hopefully you can see and hear the difference from the first century language put in today's language. And this is what he said. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope, because with less of you, only then you can have more of God and his love. You are blessed when you feel lost, when you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You are blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment we find ourselves the proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. You are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you will ever eat. You are blessed when you care. At the moment of being full of care, you find yourselves being cared for. You are blessed when you get your inside world, your heart and your heart and your mind put right. Then you can see God everywhere else in the outside world. You are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of competing or fighting. That is when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You are blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's love and kingdom. Not only that, you can count yourself blessed every time people put you down, throw you out, or speak lies just to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfortable, and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do, and all of heaven applauds. And know that you are in very good company, because my prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Amen.
Thank you for continuing to bless our church with your many tithes and offerings, and you can still do so. There is envelopes in the narthex, and we encourage you to mail those in or drop them in the plate at the end of a service. Thank you very much. And Lori Pertile is going to sing for us today a beautiful song, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Ourselves that we reach.
what shall we come before the Lord this day? We come with a love of justice and passion for sharing Christ's love. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we offer a portion of the gifts that God freely shares with us. We thank you, God, that you have blessed us with an abundance of gifts. May this offering of our life, talents, and labor show your love as we seek to share your promise with all people. Amen.
And now if you'll join, please, in the singing of our hymn, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, is number 381. Lori will lead us. Thank you, Lori.
And now for the benediction. In the spirit of the Beatitudes, let us commit to leading a life of blessings, living in compassion, simplicity, and peace. For he has shown you what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Go out this week and do likewise. Amen.